Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic it is to fix Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, and joining me for this episode 223. Is that it?
I think it is.
223. I forgot where I'm at now. I'm all screwed up. This is my buddy.
Hi, I'm Jimmy.
What's your name again?
Jimmy Jet.
That's what it was.
Not Jimmy to Jet. Be mixed up with Jimmy Jack.
Oh, yeah, he's cooler.
Yes, he is. He drives a race car.
Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm tired, actually, but I'm doing all right. Just a lot of things moving in the background, mm-hmm. and especially with the fires going on that we have to change some plans and mm-hmm. rearrange our schedules. And man, it's funny because I had like this entire month was scheduled to go out wheeling almost every weekend.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah. And now that failed. Uh-huh. Now I can't really go and do that. But it's all the weekends are already full again, mm-hmm. you know, with just other things going on because I'm double, triple booked, which it just sucks to be popular. Let me just say.
Oh, woe is you. Whoa.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you. I was looking forward to a couple of wheeling trips this month and Cantina for the con. I was really looking forward to Cantina, and I don't know if Cantina is still happening or not right now. I'm going to be bummed if Cantina fully cancels, which is one of the big fundraisers for Rubicon Trail Foundation each year for the Rubicon Trail. So other than that, I was looking forward to maybe doing something else, going camping or something, but everything is shut down in Northern California over Labor Day weekend. And it's just specifically because there's no resources available for emergency dispatches in case any other fires come up due to humans starting fires in campsites or something, with all the other fires going on around Northern California. So, yeah, it's a bummer and it's too bad. I understand why everything is shut down mm-hmm. and I get it and I empathize with it, but at the same time, they're essentially saying we don't have enough resources to allow recreation.
I know.
That's essentially what they're saying. And I'm like,
we got to shut all this down.
Yeah.
And we've got to allocate our resources and personnel to these other things going on mm-hmm. because we don't have enough of all that mm-hmm. to still allow other things to happen.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, that's a bummer. Like, let's allocate some more resources into recreational activities then.
Right.
Because right now, I have a feeling that I don't think things are going to reopen.
No, I doubt it. I think everything will stay closed until the winter shutdowns.
They're supposed to reopen the other seven forests. They're supposed to reopen them September 7th.
Okay.
So they literally closed everything down for the week around Labor Day weekend. To keep people from going out and enjoying recreation during Labor Day weekend. I'm like, I get it. I understand that we're short on resources, but at the same time, like, that's the whole reason why we have national forests, so that we can recreate.
Right.
And to keep public lands open for recreation. If we can't have those resources to do that, I'm like, there's no point, in my opinion. Like, why do we even have national forests then?
Yeah, so, give us public land.
Yeah, give us public land. So I don't know. I'm torn between it. I get it, but this is the second year that it's happened now. And last year it happened, you know, technically due to COVID, because they didn't have enough resources to administer emergency services during COVID.
But there was also a lot of fires last year.
There was also a lot of fires last year.
Because I was supposed to go on a trip with a buddy I met in Utah, mm-hmm. Red Rock Crawlers on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And he was going to come out and we were going to run the Rubicon. And mm-hmm. the fire was happening right there by the Rubicon.
The Curly Creek one, yeah.
Yep, again.
Yeah.
And it was smoking everything out. Mm-hmm. And now they were going to come on a trip on the Rubicon this year. Mm-hmm. And now I can never pronounce it right. I want to say Cordova, but I know that's
Caldor.
Not it. Caldor mm-hmm. fire is going on. Mm-hmm. And now the Rubicon's closed and their trip on the Rubicon got canceled once again, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, yeah, this continues to happen for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's just getting annoying.
Yeah.
And two, it's getting sad. You know, it's yeah. almost, you know, to some extent, I want to move out of the state.
Yeah.
Not because of political reasons, issues
that everybody else likes to get yeah, out of the state. Yeah.
But mainly because of I can't do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've always, like, whenever people start going on tirades about, man, I need to get out of this state, it's usually because they don't agree with the politics of the state. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whatever. I'm okay to deal with the politics of the state because we have such amazing recreational opportunities.
Yeah, I pay extra taxes because of where I live.
Exactly. I want to pay extra taxes so that my recreational opportunities stay open. Mm-hmm. But if recreational opportunities are not going to be staying open,
then I don't want to pay
extra taxes. There's no point in being here, man.
Yeah, I agree. So. I agree. I was having B. Murphy just look some stuff up for me because I heard that Marlin Crawler Roundup is shut down too. Mm. So we will see if that's true or not.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We need to look that up and get in touch with Marlin or Mike and see if that's still happening or not. We just got word from the intern producer guy there that likes to do a lot of work for the podcast, but never really seems to be on the podcast. He just kind of sits in the background.
Yeah. It's kind of like Lorenzo.
Kind of. Not as assy, though.
Yeah. A lot better.
Yeah. So, yeah. Brian Murphy just got to us about MCR, Marlin Crawler Roundup. What was the verdict, sir?
It is officially canceled for the year.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
Primarily because of the fires, and it's supposed to happen in a matter of weeks. Mm-hmm. And they're shutting down all the forests and all the fires and everything. So, but they're apparently going to try and do something at Hammers this upcoming year.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Nice. We'll have to get in on that then.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I wonder if it's because they're, what is it? The RCLT, mm-hmm. HDRCLT. Yeah. Is actually in production and being released. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're really wanting to push that and do something at Hammers to highlight it.
Nice. That'd be really cool. We'll have to get involved and see what they got going on there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll have to get in contact with them.
I told, speaking of getting in contact with people about a fun trip, I got in contact with Ultimate Adventure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who?
I forget what his name is. He's the guy that coordinates.
Trent?
No.
Trent McGee?
Nope.
Vern Simmons?
Nope.
Oh, I don't. Those are the only two I know.
Yeah. That's why I was like, it's not a name that I've ever heard associated with UA. But he said that I told him kind of what I was planning for the Forerunner. He goes, that sounds like a really cool build. That sounds like definitely something we'd like to see on the trip.
Sweet.
On Ultimate Adventure. And I was like, well, cool. Well, if I can, you know, help sponsor Ultimate Adventure with Morphlate as well. And then he told me the prices.
For sponsoring.
And I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, I bet.
Holy crap. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
I'll come on as a listener.
That's funny. You know, they tell me, I talked to Vern at SEMA, mm-hmm. Who's actually really good friends with Mike from the Mike and Max Off-Road podcast. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out with Mike and then running into Vern, Mike did. was just a whole funny situation. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to him and he said, you know, a lot of people think that it's hard. It's really extremely difficult to get onto the UA. He said, we don't get as many applicants as you expect.
Oh, interesting.
Like, they get a lot less. And they said that as long as you don't have a JK or now an JL, that you kind of have a good shot because there's already JKs and JLs and, you know, these probably mm-hmm. JTs, they're already going to be on there and they're looking for different
unique
and different builds. Yeah. So if you have something that is not a JK, JL, JT that you're building up, that's different than what a lot of people are, like, put your name in the hat. There's actually a decent chance that you might get on it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much what I got to from it. And I was like, okay, cool. So I have a better chance of getting in being a having a unique build and coming on as a fan of UA than I do of sponsored UA.
Yeah. They have it. They can't, they call, what do they call them? They call them listeners or readers rides or something reader, like
yeah.
that. The thing is, do I have to be a reader? Cause I'm not subscribed. I don't pay for that publication.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. That's like, a good question. Like,
do I need to sign up this year? So then possibly next year I could go like,
yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. So, speaking of SEMA though,
yes.
Have you decided whether you're going to SEMA?
I'm definitely going to go.
Cool. Yeah. I am too. I'm going to be at SEMA this year
unless they don't have it. Yeah. Otherwise I'm going to be doing it.
Yep. So we will both be at SEMA this year. I still, I don't know. Wheeling Wine and Whiskey have said that they're going to be there maybe, but...
Yeah, 2/3 of them, I think, said so.
Yeah. But I've also... Last time I talked to Jason about it, he didn't sound super confident about it.
Yeah, they didn't...
So I was like, I think I'm going to take over the planning of the trip just to make sure.
Yeah, that might... I know that Austin, from iRate 4x4, has inquired with us about moving into that. So we are going to definitely be working with him and hopefully hanging out with that guy. He's a good guy. You've never met him, have you?
Not in person.
You missed him.
We email back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad everything he's doing is really cool. Mm-hmm. We also have some interesting news from iRate 4x4 that's going to happen on the podcast.
Yep, we have. So you guys, everybody should hopefully know about what we're doing with the reviews for the show and the channel. You know, once we reach 500 reviews, we're giving away a winch, 9,500 pound Rough Country winch. But for every 50 reviews starting at 300, we're going to be giving away swag packs.
Yes.
And Austin from iRate 4x4 decided to donate a swag pack for the number 300 giveaway.
Yes.
So if your reviews are in and you're one of the first 300 reviews in on iTunes for the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast, then you'll be entered automatically to win the iRate 4x4 swag pack.
And what is the swag pack?
It's a t-shirt and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
So
it is.
I don't remember what all was in it because he had a nice hefty list there.
Isn't it the Cal 4 setup?
I think so.
Yeah. So I think that.
I thought it was the Cal 4 setup plus some other things. Some
iRate things. So yeah. Depending on the circumstances, if you're not already a Cal 4 member, I believe that this swag pack will allow you to become a Cal 4 member.
Yeah, it comes with a Cal 4 membership.
Yeah, exactly. Comes with a Cal 4 membership for you. Comes with the t-shirt that Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, Morflate, Snail Trail 4x4, and iRate put together. Mm-hmm. And then a whole bunch of other things, stickers and other swag as well.
Yep. Yeah, so that'll be really cool. The first giveaway for reviews is already planned. We're all set up, ready to go. We're just waiting for that 300th review to come in, and then we'll be doing the giveaway.
What are we at now?
That's a good question. We are currently at 297.
Ooh, okay.
So three more, and then we've got a fun swag pack to give away here. So
get in it quick.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said. So the so yeah, that's the review updates. We have the patron giveaway going on as always. This month is two packs of Midland FRS GMRS handhelds. So each one retails about $80-$85, right around there. So that you can talk to all your buddies out on the trail. There's no license required for these radios. So we will have that for the month of August, and we'll be announcing those winners hopefully the first week of September, depending on how recording schedules go. So I think they should go pretty well since everything's shut down. Jimmy and I can't really go do anything. So
yeah, my schedule is shockingly open but very full.
Yeah, that's interesting how that works out. Right. So yeah, that's the patron giveaway, the reviews giveaway. I would like to mention and re-mention, because I know that we mentioned it before, but on Wheeling Wine and Whiskey's latest episode, they mentioned that we bribe people with $20 gift boxes or gift boxes for entering and being on our top tier, we don't make any money on those gift boxes.
Right.
Like after our time is put into it, I'm pretty sure we lose money.
Probably.
On those gift boxes.
Yeah. Our goal is to break even financially, but then there's the time invested, which we aren't paying ourselves for whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever reason. There's no bribery happening.
No, there's absolutely no bribery happening. Like, literally that gift box tier is 100% us giving back and getting you guys some really cool items that are worth more than what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's us using our connections that we get because of this podcast and because of the listeners, using those connections to your advantage.
Definitely.
So
it's really bulk marketing.
It really is.
We have a group of people and it's somewhere like around 50 this mm-hmm. next time, where we can contact a company and go, hey, I want to buy 50 of these things. Can I get them at a discount?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can supply those products to you all out there, mm-hmm. everybody that's in that tier, and get more product. You're making money by being in that tier,
right?
Which is, you know, because we're supplying you with things that if you were to buy all those individually, it would cost more than what we spent on them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I just want to make sure that it is known that we don't make any money on that. No. If we're lucky if we break even, all said and done, on the $20 tier. So just wanted to make sure that was known. And I think that's about it for update stuff. What did you...
Well...
No.
I have some somber news.
I didn't want to talk about this. We need to talk about it though, because go ahead.
We should.
I'm gonna tear up if I talk about it. So
yeah. Well, how about we lost a patron?
We did.
And by losing a patron, I don't mean that he discontinued his service.
No.
Or subscription to Patreon with us. We had a patron pass away.
Yeah.
A guy that's local to us that both Tyler and I know fairly well, who was a follower of ours from our High Sierra days.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Bakken got in contact with me about it. And so it was just a random fluke where the gentleman had a massive heart attack and wasn't able to come back from it. And it's just a bummer. So Rob Gutzman, appreciate everything you did in life. Your smile and your laugh will be remembered. And hopefully something happens to that big badass Jeep that you made.
it should end up in a museum somewhere.
Probably.
He did such a good job with that. That Jeep, if anybody is unaware, is the Adventures of Sarge Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rob was the owner. Super great dude, super knowledgeable. One of the most supportive listeners that we had, that we have. And he did a really, really good job with that Jeep.
It
should be, in my opinion, it should go to a museum somewhere.
Well, and it's like, it's his Jeep on 42s, 60s. Mm-hmm. He dropped in a Hemi motor into mm-hmm. it and an 8-speed automatic transmission mm-hmm. and rewired the whole thing so it would work.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. He was telling me all these super nerdy facts about it and I couldn't follow along. He was way over my head. So lost to him. He does have a GoFundMe account.
Yep.
If you want to support his family and the sad times that they're going through right now, I think we should add a link to that down in the description if anybody is interested in donating to that.
Mm-hmm.
I have put my few cents into that hat as a support. But yeah, definitely a gentleman that will be missed, and we're going to have to figure something out on the Patreon side for him as well.
Yeah, so. I agree. He was 39 years old.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I thought he was older than me.
No, 39.
Wow.
So life is too short. Enjoy it. Make sure that you keep your loved ones dear to you and appreciate them, because you never know when you could get hit with a massive heart attack and not be around anymore. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm still in shock about it. Like I can't believe he's gone. Like
I know.
It seems like
the other day it was aligning Clifford for me.
Yeah, I was literally talking to him, texting back and forth about some other stuff 2 or 3 days before that happened.
Damn.
So like I had no clue, and then the day after it happened, some people got in contact with me and let me know, and I was like, no, like this is not a good joke, you guys. I was just talking to Rob 2 days ago.
Yeah,
and he's gone.
Yep. Yeah.
So
So anyway, yeah. So check it if you want to support the family, you or a friend of Rob's, or you know, just have some spare cash laying around, go check out the GoFundMe account for the him and his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have the link down the show notes. So if you don't know how to check the show notes, look at your phone right now and scroll down.
See the more button.
Yeah, apparently that's an issue with some people.
Yeah. Or go to the Snail Trail 4x4.com/podcast page, mm-hmm. and it'll be pretty much the first one up there.
Yeah, up on the website. So, yeah.
So sorry about the somber news. Yeah. Here's to you. Cheers.
Cheers.
We should actually have something in
I was cups. Just thinking, we've got drinks over there.
Yeah. Should we have a drink for him?
Yeah, let's have a drink for
him. You got a cup?
So I know that Rob did like Old Elk. He was a fan of Old Elk. So we have some here in the recording studio. So we just poured a couple of shots here, a couple of glasses, a couple of sips, and here's to you, Rob. Miss you, buddy.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody, if you have some drinks handy, definitely raise a drink to Rob. He was a great guy. He's going to be very sorely missed, and we lost a extremely valuable member of the off-road community. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On to some happier news.
Sure. I don't really have any happy news.
No.
No.
Did you fix Kermit yet?
No. No, not at all.
No.
I did a couple of things, but so those that were up at Sierra Trek, I didn't mention it during the Sierra Trek episode, but I threw my back out before going up to Sierra Trek. And so the whole time up at Sierra Trek, I was hobbling around like an 85-year-old guy.
Yes,
and,
you were.
It was pretty pathetic. And I had to get a ride as a passenger down to Committee Crossing to check on the repeater where we stashed the trail repeater, and then get a ride back up with a blown back.
Right.
And I couldn't walk on Thursday the next day.
No,
I was barely able to get up out of my cot. Which by the way, I have an update on that we can talk about, I guess. But I was barely able to get out of my cot, get in the F-150 and get over to camp, let alone like be upright the whole day. Like it was bad on Thursday. Mm-hmm. The one of the girls that was there with Raceline, she had these little packets of medicine, and she goes, I don't know what they are, but I get really, really bad migraines, and I used to be on prescriptions for migraines. And she goes, they got to the point where they weren't really working, and this is the only thing I've ever found that works for my migraines here. And she gave me like 5 packets. And I took one, not knowing what the hell it was. Right. Didn't look into it at all. I took it. And by like 2 or 3 p.m. that day, I was able to run from my booth across over to the raffle booth, mm-hmm. across the dance floor. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing to be able to run.
Drugs are
oh
good.
Oh my God. So I looked at it, and the packet was like 1,000 milligrams of aspirin.
Wow.
And a couple of other stuff. And so I found some of those packets, and they are a lifesaver.
Nice.
But after I got back home, I blew out my back again.
Yeah, I heard. What were you doing?
I was loading up. So Morflate, we got new bags for Morflate. So similar style. They're still a round bag, but they're vented in the bottom now, so that if you put your hose, your kit away with any moisture on it, it'll air out.
If you go snow wheeling.
Or like say if you're at the dunes and you for some reason air up down near the water, I don't know, yeah. I don't know. Or in mud area, muddy, yeah. Whatever it is.
Or Fort Ice Creek.
Mm-hmm. So we got new bags, and I was the shipping carrier dropped all the bags off, like 20 boxes that are 50 to 60 pounds a piece at my house rather than the warehouse.
Yeah.
So I was loading up a bunch of the boxes into the F-150, and something like popped in my back. Ooh. And it felt like my whole right leg caught on fire, and I just collapsed in the middle of my driveway.
You pinched a nerve.
Yeah, big time. And so
I had that happen in high school.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I went to it in the town I live in. They had this like old Indian health medicine dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a full body massage. So he got me relaxed. And then he pulled this thing out that looked like a belt sander, right? But it was it had a vibrating, mm-hmm. big old vibrating pad on it. But okay. it was big, like yeah. big old belt sanded looking thing. And he put that on my hip. And then he put his knee on it. Mm-hmm. And then he reached with his hands up to my shoulders and down to my knees. And he bent me like crooked, like a crescent moon.
Huh?
And my whole entire back was all like popped. Jeez. And then he said, okay, you're good.
What?
And I haven't had a problem with it since.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was awesome.
I definitely need to go see a chiropractor.
It was Dr. Siri.
Dr. Siri. I need to go find Siri.
Yeah, you do. If he's still alive, he was like 900 years old when I saw him.
Perfect. He'll be like 1,000 now.
I know. Then. And he had like all these certificates, you know, and it was just rant, like certificate of wild blueberries and health.
Oh,
you know, and it was like, what?
So yeah, I need to find that guy.
Mm.
And I need to go get just a nice back realignment. But ever since I threw out my back the second time within 2 weeks, I'm done. Like I need to stop working. And so I've been bedridden for the past few days and just on a constant cycle of 30 minutes ice, 30 minutes heat, 30 minutes ice, 30 minutes heat. Mm-hmm. Like 5,000 milligrams of ibuprofen and aspirin and acetaminophen throughout the day. And
and you're not lifting anything.
And I'm not lifting anything. Yeah.
We just had some people stroll through the shop here and you said, here's your stuff. You have to move it. I'm sorry. I threw my back out and I'm not moving anything right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for me to not be physical and up and around moving.
Sure. I get it.
And so it's been very, I haven't done a whole lot. But before I threw my back out the second time, I did redo my, electric fan controller.
Okay.
And I'm very happy with how that's working right now.
I saw your Instagram story on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Essentially, I got a digital controller box off Amazon that was like, I don't know, 40, maybe 50 bucks,
okay.
you know, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And then wired it up to a 40 amp relay.
Ooh.
And so my electric fan pops 25 amp fuses, but it doesn't pop 40 amp fuses. So somewhere in there is the peak startup amperage, but it runs lower than 25 amps.
Got it.
So once it's on, it runs lower than 25. So I'm like, a 40 amp relay should be plenty then to run my electric fan. So I have the control box running the control circuit for the relay, and then the relay is all wired up to the fan and my accessory fuse blocks I have in the engine bay. And those are working great. It turns on at 180 degrees and turns off at 170 degrees.
Oh, nice.
So, and it works and it lights up and has a digital display. So if I'm ever curious what the temperature probe is reading, I can just pop the hood open really quick and look and see what the temperature probe is reading of my engine coolant. So, that worked out really well. I went to, an Overland Bound meeting, which is pretty interesting. It was at Dry Diggins Distillery, who does the Rubicon whiskey.
You talked about this last episode a little bit.
Did I?
You did.
Did I talk about but going
you,
to it?
Yeah, you future casted it.
I did?
Yeah.
Gotcha. It was interesting. I thought that we were going to be going there and I would get to try out and see Dry Diggins and try some of the other whiskeys they have there.
Closed.
They were closed and it was like out in the parking lot at Dry Diggins. I was like, oh
yeah, you said that. And you said that it was on recovery and you said you gave a few little tidbits of information.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so you did a good job.
Oh, cool.
Did anything exciting, anything else exciting happen from that event?
Not really.
Did you get to meet the guy that's local to this area that runs this chapter?
I'm pretty sure he was there. There was a few guys there that they seemed very involved.
Sure. Okay.
So I'm pretty sure one of those guys was it, but I never asked who the leader of this chapter was, the Sacramento chapter.
Got it.
But I'll be going back to the next one. So they're going to keep doing kind of a big recovery series.
Oh, cool.
So this first one was, you know, just going over some of the equipment and the terminology and what is the difference between a soft shackle and a bow shackle, hard shackle. What is the difference between a static rope and a dynamic rope? What's the difference between steel cable and a synthetic winch line? So that kind of stuff. Next is going to be how different ways to rig all this stuff. Do your rigging to a vehicle. And what are the differences between rated recovery points and stuff you can get away with if you absolutely need to.
Right.
In a pinch.
Like your frame and the body mount.
Exactly. Yes. So they're going to do that. And then the next step will be setting up mechanical advantage poles and angled poles and redirection poles.
Right.
So,
and raise my hand and go like, so how do you pull your rig backwards?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to go over how to pull a rig backwards too.
Well, your own rig, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Cause you can do that. Absolutely. Which is possible.
Yep.
And I don't understand it. I've seen physically how, or on an image of how to do it, but it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You're pulling forward from your vehicle, but it's pulling you backwards.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. It involves getting the line out to the back of your vehicle and then setting up a mechanical pole, a 2-to-1 from the rear of the vehicle.
Got it.
And that's that 2-to-1 is where you get the difference in line speed to be able to pull yourself backwards. Mm-hmm.
So I would just run it under my axles.
Sure. I've done that once.
Yeah.
I snapped the line.
Figure. That's how the Samurai James ran his line underneath the axles of the JK that broke on Fordyce when we were there to pull the guy's front axle backwards.
Oh, interesting.
So we could get it to line up where we needed to weld the mount into place.
Okay. Yeah, I did that once and it turns out it caught on the bottom side of my front bumper, something like that. I had a spot that I thought that the line would clear and it didn't clear and it cut the rope or cut the steel cable. So
completely different topic subject kind of entirely.
We like those here.
I have a really good friend who's an autocross racer and quite mechanical. Mm-hmm. And we're out in Pismo one time and this girl gets stuck in her two-wheel drive Jeep Cherokee. And he goes to pull her out and he wraps the strap around the axle and yanks this girl out. And he wrapped it around the axle and the brake line.
Oh, yeah, that's no bueno.
Yeah, and so when he yanked her out, he ripped the brake line out of the caliper. And so that whole thing was bad. So, and we're like, Logan, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
What the F did you do? You know, and he's like, I don't know, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was super. So we never let that down.
Yeah.
Obviously, I just put it out there.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good. Give him a hard time. You should get a hard time if you're, you should know better.
Yes, you should know better, Logan.
So going to that Overland Bound meeting, it kind of gave me inspiration. I'm like, I want to do a couple more recovery tips podcasts. So,
okay.
We'll be getting into those in the future. But yeah, I did that. I had a spare like 1 hour of time.
Yeah.
So I cut up more of my leftover, my old wetsuit. And made a twin stick shifter boots out of my old wetsuit.
I was very impressed with that.
I thought they turned out really well. So
yeah.
I learned my lesson when I did the original shifter for the transmission and the front case. And so the second one actually went really quick because I figured out what the process was. And I was able to make a twin stick shifter boots out of my old wetsuit in about an hour.
Nice.
That and using a stapler as your stitches works really well.
Yeah, that helps out.
Yeah.
The Tacoma has two shifter boots in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It has, so because I just tore apart the transmission, right?
Mm-hmm.
It tore that transmission T-case and everything off. So it has this like the like leather thing that you see on top,
mm-hmm.
and then under it has another transmission boot.
Oh, okay. So it's got a dual.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has one boot, and then
it has a fancy thing.
A fancy thing,
yeah.
For looks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I will maybe get into it later, but the whole center console is not together yet in the Tacoma. I drove the Tacoma down here.
The Tacoma's out here in the parking lot.
Well, the center console's not in it. Whatever. Gotcha. It still works mechanically.
Yeah. So you just have a hole in the...
No, well, the shifter boot is down there.
Gotcha.
Not the fancy thing. The fancy thing's not on yet.
But the wave your hand, the fancy
thing. Yeah, the fancy thing with a little flick of the wrist. Yeah. And a lift.
The pinky out.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry if I offended anybody. But yeah, the boot actually adheres to the body, but then the fancy thing is on the center console setup.
Gotcha. Okay. All the plastic stuff that clips in. Gotcha. Okay.
So the important one is down.
Yeah.
The one that actually separates me from the road is on the vehicle.
That's good. I've been meaning to make the twin stick shifter boots ever since the asshole that stole all my last set of tools took my Trail 4Runner t-shirt that I had shoved down there as the shifter boot.
I'm sure we can talk to Brennan and he could get you another t-shirt.
No, this is good. It's pushing me to actually make the shifter boots now, finally. So, they're all made. I just need to get in there and put them in, but I can't really lean over. I still can't bend over very well right now. So I'm waiting for my back to heal up a little bit more. The other thing that I got was I bought the body mount my motor mount.
Oh.
So,
body mount.
Yeah. I bought the motor mount for, the broken motor mount on the driver's side of my engine. So all I need to do is either borrow a cherry picker or come over and use the cherry picker for about an hour, put the motor mount, replace the broken motor mount with the new motor mount. And I had a fun little talk with Ori, 83 Ricky Bobby.
I have a cherry picker you could have.
You have more than one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know you had two cherry pickers.
Yeah, that one out front in front of the shop door that's all rusted and just doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, that one, that's the one you let me have.
But if you put a little elbow grease in it and buy a new jack on there, hydraulic jack, it would work fine.
Yeah, so. I just don't really have, I mean, I do have places to put it. I have a whole warehouse over here. But we'll see. I was thinking about just coming over and using your cherry picker for an hour. Yeah. I just need to hold the engine up. So while I redo the motor mount, but I was talking with Ori.
Yeah.
And he said that Toyota motor mounts are almost all rubber.
Yes.
And so that's a very common issue for them to blow out the rubber in the motor mounts. And he said that unfortunately you can go to the bomb proof motor mounts from Trail Gear or a bunch of other places. Some LCE has them.
But you really feel it.
Exactly. There's no rubber isolation between your frame and the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said because of that, the bolts will break in those bomb-proof motor mounts as well.
Oh, interesting.
So he said the best fix that he's ever found is to get some chain.
Oh, a limiting strap.
Put a limiting strap on your motor mounts.
Chain would not be the benefit to do unless it's already taut, right?
Exactly. Yep. So you measure out your chain and get it just right so it's taut so that there's just enough play so that things can shake and move around and vibrate. But then if you roll over or flop your vehicle, the chain holds the motor to the motor mount rather than that rubber block.
Got it.
Which tears when you flop and roll over.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And I've seen people do that too. Mm-hmm. And I guess a chain would work. My problem, and I guess there's not going to be an immense amount of shock loading happening on a chain in an engine.
Not if you set it up right. I mean, the engines are only 600 pounds, 500 pounds. So it's not doing recoveries with a chain where you're shock loading 10,000 pounds, 20,000 pound shock loads. So,
right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that shouldn't be too difficult to do. Just find a bolt somewhere that you can find a spare hole to put a bolt in.
Well, he said to put it on the motor mount cap. So on the motor mounts, there's usually a metal cap that goes over the rubber part, and that's and you just weld from your frame to that metal cap.
Oh,
that way you don't
that's
even
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're you only have
three links.
Yeah, exactly. You only have three or four links on your chain.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so you gotta go from the frame to the engine.
To the engine, yeah.
No.
No.
You don't need to you could do that, but I was like, find a bolt on the engine and weld the other side to the frame.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a limiting strap in there. Mm-hmm. You should be good. But yeah, no, I guess that makes you only need to limit the part that's stretchy.
Exactly.
So,
yep. So yeah, I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And he sent me some pictures of what he does on all his rigs for the motor mounts. And I was like, oh, well, that's super easy. Yeah.
Thanks, Ori. Why didn't you do that on mine?
Right? Come on, man.
Yeah. Love you, Ori.
Yep. No, keep, that guy's
keep
a wealth
rocking
of knowledge.
The riding mowers.
Yeah. I need to get in on that scene.
The next one.
Way. Yeah.
I have an idea I want to talk to you off air about, by the way, in regards to that. But,
okay.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much all I did. I mean, it's just been a lot of laying low. Yeah. So it's unfortunate, but that's just, you know, I'm hanging low, and my next stuff coming up is Cantina for the Con.
If it happens.
And then the next weekend after that, which is September 11th, is going to be a Signal Peak run that I'm supposed to be leading if the national forests open back up.
Right.
So we'll see if they open up or not. And then we have the listener run in between those two things.
Yes.
The patron run, I should say. So we're putting together details for that. If you've expressed interest on being on the patron run, reach out to us because we are still going to hold it now. We've found a new venue and place to go. And we're figuring out all the details pretty much as we speak. So
kind of, yeah. Yeah. Before and after this, we will have something. Yeah, you'll probably get an email this week to those who have signed up or have expressed interest. If you are a patron and you would like to run with us and go out on the run, please send me an email, jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com. But do know that this is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday trip. I've had a few people from our last podcast send me emails and say they're interested. And then I told them what the dates were and they said, oh, sorry, I can't do a midweek.
Yeah.
So we were going to do a midweek because we were going to go on the Rubicon and we didn't want it to be too crazy and busy. But yeah. Now that kind of failed us, but we're still going to keep the same dates because people have already requested the time off.
Yep.
So we'll know a lot more after we finish recording this, and we'll finalize some dates and times. Mm-hmm. Well, some times, I'll send an email out to everybody.
Cool. Awesome. That's all I've been up to. I've been medicating and theragunning and icing and heating and just being essentially a big old couch potato. So what have you been up to? Hopefully you've been up to some more exciting stuff.
Well, since I was supposed to be working on Trail Tacoma's Tacoma.
Brennan, oh, really?
Well, Brennan's Trail 4 R's Tacoma on this last Saturday. But he got a lift kit in and not all the parts showed up in time.
Bummer.
He was missing the rear leaves. And so we were considering doing the front side of things and then doing the rear side of things later, but we figured it'd just be better to do it all in the same video at the same time.
Yeah.
It just makes the video flow a little better and shooting flow a little easier. So we pushed it off to this upcoming weekend since I'm free and there's no forests or wheeling available. So that freed up my weekend, which the assistant was super stoked about because she wasn't happy that I was gone last weekend and then said, oh, by the way, this upcoming weekend, I'm going to be working on trucks. So, yeah. I had a free weekend with the assistant. The mini assistant was at her father's house. And so we somewhat made the best of it. We looked on the AQI map, the air quality index map, and we said, okay, where is a good place to go? And it was pretty much the answer was the coast.
So pretty much, yeah, it's the only place, yeah.
Yeah, so the benefits of Sacramento, which you know, are kind of few and far between, but one of the big benefits is it's 2 hours from being up in like the skiing area of the mountains, and it's 2 hours from the coast.
Yep.
So it's kind of in the middle of that area. So in a matter of hours, we found ourselves down at Muir Beach, down in the John Muir area, down off of in like Mill Valley, North Bay area, very North Bay
one,
area.
One note on that before we get too far away. When I was back in my rafting days, we would go up and ski for a couple hours. And then come down, do a whitewater rafting river.
Nice.
In the middle of the day, and then end up on the ocean surfing, wake surfing, what is it called? Body surfing. That's what I'm thinking of. Body surfing, boogie boarding, surfing down in the ocean in the evening time. Mm-hmm. And so we would do that once a year. And that's nuts. Like, it's one of the only places in the world that you can do that at.
You can do it on Hawaii, but yeah.
Yeah.
The Big Island has skiing and ocean not too far away from each other.
And whitewater rafting?
I don't know about whitewater. But yeah, so I've always wanted to go ski to surf in the same day. I've never done it, but it's very easily done. Mm-hmm. As long as you get up there early or start up in the mountains early only. Mm-hmm. And if you do a half day, you still drive down and you would have an evening sesh on the ocean. So. Yep. But anyway, so we went to Muir Beach, which is actually where the assistant's mother's ashes are spread.
Oh,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
She had a battle with cancer and won once and lost once.
Bummer.
Yeah, so we went and saw, went and visited the beach and had some silent time sitting by the ocean. And then we went on a hike, which the sign said was 3.7 miles and my watch said was about 4.2 miles. Okay. So I don't know. Both of them are wrong in my opinion. Uh-huh. I know my watch is a little funny at times, but it was funny because it was only a few hundred feet gain from the ocean up this mountain or hill to the top. And then we did a few rollers and then we went down to this place called Pirate's Cove, which is just another little cove down towards San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we would go, okay, that next little roller, we're gonna stop and take a break. Uh-huh. And so we hiked maybe a half a mile, a few hundred feet of elevation gain, stopped like 2 to 3 times just to catch our breaths. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, there's this 100-mile run going on. using the same stretch, and they're coming down the part that we're hiking up.
You're salmoning it?
Kind of, yeah. And we were looking at these guys like, man, you guys are idiots. Who the hell would run 100 miles? And they're looking at us like, why are you stopping and taking a break? Like, what the hell are you doing? You know? Yeah. And so we were kind of getting a kick out of that. But yeah, so we ended up hiking about four and a half-ish miles and had a few hundred feet of elevation gain. Not a whole lot there. But we hiked up to maybe like 300 feet of elevation and then went down and then hiked back up and came back. And then we went into the Bay Area and we hung out with some friends and had some pizza and some beer and relaxed. And I had a beer and then stopped because I was the driver, the chauffeur on the way home and came back. And that was pretty much our Saturday. It was a great day. And then Sunday, we just kind of hung out and I did a little bit of work and she did a little bit of housework and we kind of just did some chores and had a lazy day. And then we went and picked up the mini assistant and had dinner and that was about it. So it was a pretty low key, relaxing weekend. Mm-hmm. It was nice to spend some time with the family and go on a few hikes and go and kind of explore some areas. So
nice. Yeah. So how was putting the Charlotte back together?
Yeah. I think I kind of hinted at that on the last Thursday's episode. But finalizing Charlotte was pretty easy. I mean, you helped out a lot just putting the T case and transmission up into place. And then once it was hanging there, I was like, okay, we're good. Like we don't need to do anything else. But then from then it was just mounting the drive shafts, putting the electrical back together, routing the electrical, which probably was the hardest part. Man, I don't know how I took it out.
Did you figure out where that one electrical wire went back into?
Yeah.
That you couldn't get out in the first place?
Yeah. And it was actually really easy to put back together. In regards to the breathers, I am regretting not extending the breathers this time because I don't think I'm going to pull the transmission when I put the reduction case in.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm only going to pull the T case. So now I felt like I sort of shot myself in the foot where I should have extended the breathers while I had the chance. Mm-hmm. But besides that, it was just, there's this one bolt, man. There's this one bolt on the top of the transmission that held this little bracket in that held some wires up out of the drive shaft. And I couldn't get it for the life of me. I spent like, I don't know, let's just say it took me like 6 hours to button it back together. And I probably spent 2 of the hours trying to get this one tiny little 10 millimeter bolt in. So
meanwhile, there's a Toyota engineer somewhere going,
right?
Someone's going to struggle for 2 hours on this one stupid bolt.
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So anyway, got it all back together. I haven't put the central console back together though, because I'm going to, put a USB like cigarette lighter USB plug out the back of the center console.
Okay.
Because there's no connection ports
for the rear seat.
For the rear seats.
Yeah.
And so I bought a Blue Seas. I bought an Overland equipped mounting bracket. a Blue Seas breaker, okay, and their 12-port like connection.
Oh, the fuse block?
Fuse block.
Uh-huh.
And
those are nice.
Yeah.
I have one in Kermit.
Yeah. So I got that whole setup so that I could connect more accessories to the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of been waiting to get that. And I got it this last weekend. Just haven't had time to put it in yet. But I bought two USB plugs, cigarette plugs. They look identical to a cigarette adapter, mm-hmm, out the back end, but then on the front, it just has USB plugs in them.
Gotcha.
Also, a lot of the ones on Amazon are like have lights on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you can see what you're doing.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't want this always like lit up when the car's turned on.
Yeah.
And so they have ones that have on off buttons on the face of the cigarette lighter, okay, to turn the lights on and off for the,
wow,
USB plug.
I have not seen those yet.
Yeah. So I bought those, because I'm considering hot wiring one of them.
So it's always on.
Okay. Whether it's the one in the center console or the one on the back of the center console. In the meantime, when I was waiting for parts, there's this box at the very bottom of the center console area. And I've always been told that there's no vent out into the back seats for the Tacomas either, for air conditioning or heater or anything. So all the venting for the back seats happens up in the front. But this thing, okay, I was like, what is this? It has a fan on the input and has a fan for the output. And so I sent a photo of it to our Toyota friends, First Gen Mike and Beer Andy.
Uh-huh.
And they said that is the inverter for the tailgate.
Oh, interesting.
I was like, what? Like, that's it's all the way up here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's in the between the driver seat and the passenger seat. And then, yep, it runs the wires all the way back to the inverter plug at the back end.
Yeah, it's AC.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like a long run of 110.
That's the benefit of AC, is that you can do long runs like that.
Yeah. I guess so. Maybe it's a long run from the battery to it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe.
So anyways, that was kind of interesting to see, because I was like, oh, look, there is a vent back here. Oh, wait, this isn't a vent. What is this thing? And I had no idea. So luckily, we do have friends in our pockets and we can go, yeah, like, what is this?
I have a First Gen Mike's tool, by the way.
Still?
That didn't come out
right. He never came, came by?
No, he didn't.
Or you guys missed each other?
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so First Gen Mike, Tyler's got your tool.
Yep. Yeah, I do.
So so now that I have all the parts, I just need to find a little bit of time and, mm-hmm, button it back together. Cut a hole in the dash or in the center console so, mm-hmm, that I can plumb up these cigarette lighters.
Yeah.
It was funny because I have a like 1¼-inch hole saw bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, let me see if this is the right size. And it goes over the adapter, but it's too small for the ring. And so it's like exactly the wrong size. Uh-huh. And so the USB cigarette lighters I bought actually came with hole saw bits.
Oh,
the
no
specific
way.
Size for them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So I haven't used them yet, but so far I'm happy with the quality of the thing I bought, because it comes with all the bells and whistles, mm-hmm, to put the damn thing in. So, and I think they're 2-3 volt. Or 2.4s?
2 2.1s, I believe, is typically the amperage.
3.1. Oh, I don't know. The higher, whatever the higher one is these days.
Yeah, typically it's a 2.1.
Is it 2? I thought it was higher than that. Mm-hmm. But anyways, there are two of those, which isn't, you know, a lot of times it's one high, one low.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the two powerful ones too.
Nice.
So yeah, so I'm stoked with it. So I just need to pop these holes, wire it up, throw in the fuse block setup, and then wire the whole thing up, and then I can put my center console back together.
You can put a speaker in there for your ham radio, or?
Oh, I completely forgot about that. I should look into that. Thank you. There's definitely room underneath. Mm-hmm. I'll just need to figure out a way to, maybe I'll do like two smaller ones out the front. I don't know. Well, Linda, I might need to pick your brain.
Okay.
We'll see. But yeah, so that, that should come together here in a matter, with my schedule, a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
We'll see. Not a lot of free time. This week is just crazy. I have daddy duties every night this week, which is unusual, but, it's back to school night. School's back in session. There's a mommy thing that the assistant's going to go do with some of her friends. And so, yeah, so all my nights for the most part, are taken up. Fortunately, I've struck a deal with the assistant that once the kiddo goes to bed, I get to go play on the computer and do work.
Yeah.
So that's that, but I won't be at the shop. I won't be able to be at the shop. So, I don't know when I'm going to actually complete this project, but it, you know, I'll probably have the center console off when I receive the crawl box.
Yeah, no, right?
Still so I don't have to take it apart again, which is super easy. But yeah, that's probably how it'll end up.
Well, the crawl box is only going to be here another, 5 weeks at the most?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. That'll be an interesting project. I don't get Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? Just because I'm pretty sure everybody's had similar experiences on Facebook Marketplace, but like at the same time, I'm like, if everybody has these experiences,
why do we keep going there?
Why do they keep happening then?
Yeah, I don't, I just don't understand why somebody puts something online to sell, but then has a really hard time selling it.
Yeah. Explain what you mean by that.
But well, I don't know how far I want to go in depth, but let's just say that I've inquired about trying to buy this product, a gear-driven tea case, mm-hmm. so I can use the guts of it for the crawl box. Somebody has it for sale in my local area, and I inquired, and I said, is it still available? And they said, yes. So then I said, okay, when are you free? And he said, pretty much any time. I said, can I come over today? And he said, no, today doesn't work.
So not anytime. Oh, okay, cool. Good to know. I'm glad we got that figured out.
And then I said, okay, when would work? And he said, let's meet tomorrow. And I said, okay, I'm available between, you know, in the morning tomorrow. And he said, that sounds great. So then I message him in the morning and go, okay, I'm about to leave. Where am I going? Uh-huh. He goes, actually, you know, can we meet this evening? I go, at this point, I'm frustrated with the guy, right? I go, please tell me a time and a place and I will be there.
Yeah.
And he goes, my place will work. What time works for you? And I said, you tell me the damn time.
Yeah. I've already told you times
it.
Twice.
I've already dealt with it. Yeah. I didn't say damn because I'm trying to be polite. But I said, I already told you, like, you tell me a time and a place and I will be there. And the guy has not responded to me. And I'm like, well, there's another one of these for sale in a city nearby.
Yeah.
For twice as much. And I'm halfway tempted just to message the dude and go, hey, sorry, I'm going to go spend, you know, instead of $100, I'm going to go spend $200 on this one that the guy's willing to meet me.
Yeah.
Sorry, you missed out.
Yeah.
And I'm now spending more money.
Yeah.
You probably could have made more money.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's holding out for. Maybe he saw this other guy selling it for twice as much.
I don't know.
And he's like, I don't want to sell it. I'm just going to raise my price.
I don't know. I'm like, you got to understand that you're dealing with people who are busy and there's going to be scheduling conflicts. But like at the same time, if somebody has already made the due diligence to
create a post,
yeah. And, or not just that, but like if somebody has already made the due diligence to try and make the transaction happen, and the other person has not done that, then the burden of due diligence goes back onto that person then.
Yeah, it's all on him.
Yeah.
Like I've tried to meet with the guy 3 times.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get people why you post something on Facebook Marketplace and then like make transactions so difficult.
Yeah, so. He actually just messaged me and said, do you want to meet today after 5?
Cool. Perfect. Say, I'll be there at 5.
Where? He hasn't given me an address yet. All he said was my house.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's my Facebook Marketplace dilemma.
Good job.
I know. if you're posting something on Facebook, you have to make yourself available.
Yes. Yeah, if you're looking to sell something, unless it's like free, like right. I could understand if you're asking a bunch of questions and making life difficult for something free.
Yeah,
then I get that. But
the
like
assistant does porch pickups all the time. For less money, obviously, or mm-hmm. less important things maybe. But she just says, I'm going to leave it on my front porch. You come by and leave the money on the front porch.
Yeah. I do Venmo a lot with Facebook Marketplace. If you're okay with Venmoing, then just leave it on your porch. I'll Venmo you and I'll Venmo you right now.
Yeah.
And then just leave the item on your porch and let me know where to go.
Right.
I'll come by and pick it up when I'm available.
Maybe what I need to do with this guy. Put it out by your damn mailbox and I'll swing by and get it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, the people are weird. I don't get it sometimes, but you know, I whatever.
Yeah.
It just goes back to everything that I keep ranting about from the past is make it easy for me to spend money with you.
Like, right.
I want to give you money.
I want to give you money, mister.
Yeah.
Will you allow me to give you money?
Please.
Can we work something out so I can give you money?
Right. Oh, man.
If anybody else has a gear-driven tea case out there that wants me to, that's willing to...
Chain-driven, you mean? Or no gear?
Chain.
No,
chain. I need chain.
That's right. Oh, for your crawl box.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Your donor gears.
Mm-hmm. I need the gears out of a chain-driven tea case.
Man. So yeah, if anybody has a chain-driven, let Jimmy know.
Yeah,
he would love to give you money for it.
Yes. Watch. This guy's name is Zach. I'm gonna throw that out there. I hope he's listening to this podcast.
Oh, that's funny. Cool, man. Anything else going on, or was that about it? We're getting to the end of this episode.
Yeah, so that's anything else for the most part. That's about it. I did spend. I just dropped some serious coin for the snail armor side of things. More money than I've had in a bank account ever. Good thing for credit cards.
Yay.
Which is pretty wild and crazy. So that's the big thing going on in my life right now is just keeping that moving, keeping the boat and the train moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
No boat in this instance, probably a truck, but
yeah,
got to move
it. But the good news is though that you're going to have plenty of stock on third, second gen and
Tundras.
All Tundras, first and second gen?
Second gens? And third gen Tundras.
Second, third gens, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, the third gen Tundra is technically coming out now. I always say that the third gen is the current model that came out.
They did a facelift.
It was like a major facelift,
yeah.
But they kept it as the second gen still. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense for what you guys did to it.
No. Fourth gen.
Should be a third gen, but it's still technically the second gen. So.
And, you know, I've had a lot of inquiries about the Forerunners.
Oh.
First and second gen Forerunners.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I have the prototypes.
Uh-huh.
I just need to fit them.
Oh.
I need time to fit them.
Well, hey.
I need have a second gen Forerunner. Do you know somebody that has a second gen Forerunner that I might be able to use?
I might be able to find one. I might be able to get it over to your house for a couple of hours while it's using a cherry picker.
Oh. Oh. little swappy swap of time.
Yeah.
That might work.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we'll work that out.
All right.
So, cool, man. If anybody has any questions or feedback on this episode, please get in contact with us. We love hearing from you guys. If you want to know more about OBD2 readers, we are looking at doing an episode in the future here because the guy that I rode back up from committee crossing in with my blown back, he had a full Holley EFI system.
Cool.
So everything was a Holley computer ECU for his vehicle. It was all wired into his engine, his transmission, everything, manual valve body. But his display dash was an 8-inch touchscreen Holley EFI engine management system.
Sweet.
So you have multiple screens, swipe left and right. You could set up any widget for any sensor on the vehicle that the Holley computer was reading. And I was like, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
How do I get that with a Toyota ECU?
Torque,
right? So, I'm like, well, shit, that's another great option that I thought of after I was listening to that episode. I was like, well, that guy had that too. So we may end up doing a full episode on OBD2 and ECU reader stuff. Meanwhile, California is going to be cutting down immensely on tuned ECUs.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that. We'll get you some more information about that later on as well. But yeah, if you guys have any feedback or want to know more about OBD2 readers, the California cutting down on tuned ECUs, maybe we'll have Ryan on to talk about that one.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. I would be interested in that because Charlotte's ECU is tuned.
Mm-hmm.
I did talk to the gentleman that did put the OV tune on mine, and he told me, he's like, well, we already have proof that it passes smog.
Oh.
And I said, But
it passes emissions and everything?
Yeah, everything works. But I'm like, but are they looking? Like right now, they're not looking for if the computer's been tampered with.
Yeah.
So, and he was like, but it passes smog. I'm like, yeah, but you're missing the whole point of this question.
Yeah.
Will it pass smog if they're starting to look? And I don't think they know the answer to that yet.
Yeah. I don't know.
But however, I did have Beer Andy did plug his computer into Charlotte and he couldn't notice any, or he didn't really notice anything. His software and everything seemed to work fine.
Okay.
I don't think he noticed that it had been tweaked.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, how they're going to be checking it. Are they going to load up every smog station with
fancy things,
factory reading?
Yeah.
Place yeah. things?
Maybe they just need to plug it in and see like if it's, here's the most recent current version of, you know, the ECU, and this is what it should be at. And maybe. If it's not this number,
yeah,
then it,
I don't know. That might be, could be getting down an interesting rabbit hole.
I know. Cause then it's like, well, what if I'm backdated?
Yeah.
Are you going to bring me up to date?
Right. So, maybe it'll come with a free flash of your ECU whenever you go in for a smog. Yeah.
Can you change my blinkers to 7 instead of 3?
Oh my God. The stupid F-150, is the passenger side blinkers are blinking really fast, which usually means you have a blinker out somewhere.
Yeah.
But I can't find any blinkers out. And so like when I do I'm just going to change lanes and it, you know, blinks 3 times.
Yeah.
It's over in like half a second. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. I can't, there's no way I can change lanes.
I got in an argument one time with a police officer.
Okay.
About how fast you're allowed to change lanes.
Okay.
So because you technically can't like just
shoot over
across traffic really fast. Right. Mm-hmm. And they said that you have to have one complete blink with all 4 tires in the lane.
Okay. Then yeah, cars are not set up that way.
But if you're blinking really fast.
Okay.
Now you can shoot across.
Perfect. I can go across 3 lanes in half a second.
Yeah. As long as your blinker's on, you fulfill the requirement.
That's funny. Oh, that's good. So cool, man. If there's any other feedback for the episode, you guys know how to reach us. Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Old Elk.
And with that, my friends, keep growling.
So I was going to tell you this joke about time travel.
Okay.
But you didn't like it.
You're right. How'd you know?
Luck.